back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Brian Dinkins.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Monday afternoon. And we've got to talk some college football and college basketball. And joining us like he does every week at this time is David Cobb.
Joining Bryant and Brett now on Sports Time is national college football writer for CBS Sports, Memphis native and Tennessee grad, who you can find on Twitter X at David W. Cobb. It's David Cobb.
David Cobb joins us now to talk some college basketball and a little college football. David, last week when we talked with you, we were getting ready for the national championship game. Then a few hours after that, Michigan beat UConn to win the national championship. What did you make of that game and that showing for Michigan to cut down the nets?
Yeah, the best team in college basketball won the national championship. It doesn't always happen that way. Usually it's one of the five best. Sometimes it is the best. This year it was the best. Michigan demonstrated a level of dominance throughout this college basketball season that nobody else in the game matched. And so they were a fitting and a worthy champion. But I'll tell you guys, I mean, they got pushed to the very end by a UConn team that has that championship DNA. And you could just see the brilliance of Dan Hurley on display, and the fact that they were the first team in that NCAA tournament to really push Michigan, to really test Michigan into the deep into the second half of the game. And so I do give UConn some credit. I think UConn maxed out. I think UConn did the absolute best that it could have hoped for with that roster. Now, the only thing they could have really hoped for would have been a different opponent. With a different opponent in the national title game, UConn could be a three times in 4 years national champion, but Michigan was so dominant throughout the entire month of March and early April that they got there. They deserved to be there, and they deserved to be the champion, and they got pushed. They had to earn it, and that was the good part. To become the national champion, Michigan had to beat the best program right now in the sport. They did that. So caps off to Michigan on an incredible season, and to Dusty May for one of the most remarkable two-year turnarounds you'll ever see in this game.
David, I don't think it'll be 26 years in between Big Ten championships, and I don't think it'll be, 36 years in between Michigan national championships, but it's not going to be long before another UConn national championship either, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Dan Hurley's going to have them there every single year. Now, look, they lose Luke Murray from the staff. He's going to be the head coach at Boston College. That's a big loss. They're keeping Kamani Young, who's the associate head coach, but Luke Murray is a big part of those two titles. And then they've got some roster replenishing to do. But I tell you, though, if they could get Braylon Mullins back for his sophomore season, that'd be huge. That would be massive for UConn.
Is that in play?
Do that, so. I believe so. I would be shocked if he doesn't at least explore the draft. But he's one of those guys that, with this being such a good draft, he could benefit from returning to college, putting on 15 more pounds of muscle, and then coming out next year as a lottery pick. Because right now, I think he could be a first-round guy, maybe sneak into the teens, but you come back to college and you're a part of the 2027 draft class, which is not expected to be nearly as large. Oh, yeah, maybe you make $4 million at UConn, which is about maybe more than you would make on your first year of your rookie deal. Yeah, I could see that being a really smart option for Braylon Mullins. So a lot to be decided here in the next few weeks for UConn. This is the part of the year that Dan Hurley kind of laments. You give Dan Hurley a basketball team, he knows what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But and I give him credit. Like, he's done a great job building rosters as well. But I don't think it's his favorite part. Like, some guys love GMing and working the margins and finding the diamonds in the rough. And I don't think that's Dan Hurley's passion, but he does have good people around him who are really good at that as well. So these next few weeks will be huge in determining how soon UConn gets back to the mountaintop. But speaking with Dan Hurley after that game, he did not sound like a coach who was discouraged in any way, and nor should he be. Now, you wondered how he would react because, I mean, let's be real. He is the first UConn coach ever to lose in the national title game. I mean, UConn was 6-0 in national championship games until last Monday, and Dan Hurley had one NCAA tournament loss in 4 years, right? So, like, how would he respond to that loss? I actually thought he handled it about as well as a Dan Hurley could. Yeah, I agree, Brett. I think they'll be back very soon.
We're talking majors today with Rory. He passes Calhoun, doesn't he, at UConn?
Yeah. Well, I guess Calhoun's got three. Ollie has one. Hurley has two. Now, Hurley's have come in a more condensed time frame. His 24 team was one of the most dominant that we've seen in the last 30 years. He's also been to a title game. It's close. I think he's getting there. I hesitate to say that he's there yet just because Calhoun does have one more ring. But Dan Hurley is right there. In fact, I would be shocked if he's not, for the third year in a row, our number one ranked coach in college basketball when we rank him here in about 6 months before the new season. He's been that the last two seasons. And after another great coaching job, he will be number one again.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about UConn and kind of who could be back for them. On the other side with Michigan, we know a couple guys out of the eligibility and won't be back next year. But a lot of question marks out there. We know Elliott Cadeau and Trey McKinney both saying that they will be back next year. What do you make of those two guys coming back? And could you see any of those other starters with eligibility remaining maybe run it back instead of entering the draft?
Yeah, Adai Mara and Merez Johnson kind of in a similar position as a Braylon Mullins, where they could absolutely be first-round picks. They should absolutely test the waters. They should get a firm grasp of what their draft stock is, about what NBA scouts are saying about them. They should get all that feedback. Now, that's not ideal for Michigan. It's not ideal for any program, because what happens is those guys run it down to the deadline. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know. And then so what happens is you need some guys in the portal with some pop to kind of hold off, right? We're seeing commitments. We're seeing guys commit over the last 48 hours, big-time players. If you're Michigan or you're UConn and you have guys in that 20 to 40 range of the draft projections and they are testing the waters, well, that's going to take a few weeks for them to get that feedback and make their ultimate decision. So uncomfortable position for Michigan. But, yeah, you wait on Merez Johnson, you wait on Adai Mara, and they've already backfilled on a certain level with J.P. Estrella. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a really proven quality big man from Tennessee. He is not going to be Adai Mara. He's most definitely not Yaxel Lindeborg. But in the doomsday scenario where Merez Johnson and Adai Mara both leave, all right, well, you at least have J.P. Estrella there to help soften the blow. So, yeah, with their backcourt intact, if you can get one of Merez Johnson or Adai Mara back, you're probably going into next season right there at number one in most of the preseason polls.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it kind of leads me to my next question about this, you know, Dusty May and this Michigan staff of, you know, J.P. Estrella is not going to be Yaxel Lindeborg or Adai Mara. Maybe, I mean, certainly probably for Yaxel, he was a first-round pick before he decided to go to Michigan. But how many of those guys, of those starters on Michigan's team, did we think were going to be that good going into the season? It really feels like this coaching staff is able to identify guys they feel like fit their system and then get the absolute most out of those guys.
Yeah, for sure, Bryant. Like the narrative on a week ago tonight of Michigan bought a title, it's only half true. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you have to have a certain level of resources to go out and build a competitive roster. But within that, it's still incumbent upon you as a staff to nail the identifications, because nobody was beating down the doors for Elliott Cadeau. I'm sure he commanded a very nice salary,
sure,
but he was somewhere around the 15th ranked point guard in the class, in the transfer class last year. He was not the number one ranked transfer point guard. That was Donovan Dent or like a Deedon Thomas. You know, there were several other more highly ranked point guards. In fact, going into this past season, if you were power ranking Big Ten point guards, you probably had Elliott Cadeau 7 or 8, right? And he'll go into next season either 1 or 2. Depending on what Jeremy Fears does at Michigan State. And so they identified him. They saw he was not utilized to the full extent of his abilities at North Carolina. They put him in a system and around players who could bring the best out of him. And so they 100% deserve credit for developing and maximizing Elliott Cadeau, who was sort of looked at as a bust on a certain level from his 2 years at UNC. And then, yeah, Axel, I mean, you got to have some courage in your evaluation. This is a guy who mainly played on the block down low for UAB. All right, we're going to play you at the three, and we're going to trust your perimeter skill set and what we've seen in that. And I look at Dai Mara as another example. I mean, what was Mick Cronin doing at UCLA with that guy? Not what he should have been. I mean that guy, the numbers may not have always shown it, but just the way he impacts everything in the paint at 7'3", kind of reminded me on some level of Donovan Klingon at UConn a couple years back. Like, just the, all right, you get in the paint, you got to rethink everything about the way you attack the basket and how you get a shot up, because he's down there with those long arms and is going to disrupt you. So they put together a really nice puzzle. And let's say June of last year, we were looking at Michigan's roster and thinking, huh, this is interesting. Is this going to work? And they had the vision. And so you give Dusty May all the credit in the world. Did he have to have some money to put the roster together?
Sure.
No doubt. Absolutely. But it took some really good scouting and coaching acumen to really make the vision come to life.
Dave, we got a couple of themes working. We have the obvious Big Ten theme working in football and basketball, but we also have it in pretty dominating style. Michigan was just that far ahead of everyone, including everyone in the SEC. And I think Indiana was ahead. I don't think it was as dominant as Michigan being ahead. I would have loved to have seen the Ole Miss-Indiana game, but Indiana was a mighty strong team. 16-0 speaks for itself. The Big Ten, for right now, clearly has separated from the SEC.
Yeah, Brett, it makes me wonder why I paid $185 for an SEC belt. Why did I do that?
Because it just means more. That's
it
why.
It just means more.
Oh, man. Maybe I should pay $300 for a Big Ten belt. I don't know. But
they don't make them. It doesn't mean more there.
Exactly right. They don't make them. That tells you everything you need to know about conference loyalty and why it runs so deep.
I've got a 12-team belt, David.
Wow.
That's actually cooler, because that's retro, that's throwback. Like, mine's modern. It's not as it doesn't have quite the the retro appeal that yours does. So I'm just trying to get on your level, Brad.
No, David.
But you're right.
Nothing says retro like me.
No, you're one of one, and I love you for it.
Love you, David.
But yeah, your point is well taken. It's the Big Ten runs college sports right now. I mean, the women's basketball national champion, the men's basketball national champion, three consecutive unique football national champions. And it's the Big Ten's world, and we're living in it now. I'll be really concerned if the Big Ten wins the baseball national title. Yeah. So holler back at me after Omaha if Iowa is there hoisting the national title trophy
or UCLA
at Ameritrade Park. Yeah, well, it could happen. I think the SEC will have more bites at the apple. Although those SEC baseball standings right now, they just look like a jumbled mess. My goodness, it's just a bunch of 500 teams in that league right now. But no, it's changed. It's changed. 5 years ago, there was no question. It was the SEC in football, and it really wasn't even close. And then the Big Ten was number two, but the Big Ten is number one now in both of the major sports. And so they have earned their right to puff their chest out and claim their spot as the best.
Omaha would be a 2x4 across the forehead, but next January in Las Vegas, and especially if it happened head to head, that's only happened in the last 3 years. No, it hadn't happened in the title game head to head, but if it happens head to head in Vegas in the college football playoff national championship game late January next year, it will be freak out like we may have never seen in the SEC.
Well, and you look at it and you wonder, all right, who are the SEC's bell cows right now? I mean, Georgia has not slipped. They've not wavered. Of course, they haven't won the title now in a few years. And then LSU is going to be under first-year coach in Lane Kiffin. Boy, they've spent enough money to go win a football national title.
Texas is rich.
The way, But the way Lane's talking, it's like he thinks they we need to be pumping the brakes, and that doesn't encourage me.
What for the Tampa Bowl?
Well, I that's what he seems to think the expectations to be. I disagree. I mean, I think with what you can do in 1 year now in the portal. Well, if Kurt Cignetti, for crying out loud, can get Indiana to the college football playoff in his first year after coming over from James Madison, give me one good reason why Lane Kiffin, with a $40 million roster at LSU, can't get LSU at minimum to the semifinals of the college football playoff. You can't. There is no good reason for that not to be the expectation at LSU. And for the sake of the Southeastern Conference, it better be the expectation. Like when you have a coach of his track record commanding his salary with a roster of that caliber, yeah, you should make the semifinals, and the SEC needs that. They need LSU to punch at that weight.
Mm-hmm. No. Semifinals, first year for Lane. I don't think in our way crazy, way too early. I did too. I did have that. I had Ole Miss beating LSU
you
in
did,
the finals.
You did, that's right.
Okay, David, when are we gonna get your way too early?
Duh. Give me about 2 weeks. I got to get over this root canal. Thankfully, I'm feeling good. If this call had been at 11 a.m. today, you would have gotten a very different version of me.
How much pain?
The pain has been over the 2 weeks leading up to it, primarily, to the extent that, like, I welcomed the pain of the actual operation. You know, I was like, all right, I'm ready for this. Thankfully, they got me in a day early, and I was like, "I'm ready. I don't care. I didn't even have my coffee before I went."
But you don't sound like it's dead. You don't sound any different.
Well, the numbing has subsided. I'm pretty hopped up on ibuprofen, and I got another round of antibiotics, which, you know, like it's not the same as like a painkiller by any stretch, but it actually really helps because it hits the infection part of it. So. Yeah, now that I'm past my root canal, or will be here pretty soon, I can start dabbling in those football waters a little bit. And exciting. It's always exciting when you get to transition and sort of look at something new and look at it with fresh eyes, too, because once the national title game is over for football, like, I am all the way checked out until after basketball ends. And then so you get to come back at it with a fresh set of eyes. You hadn't been keeping up as much with spring practice. You know, like the guys who only do football, like they're dialed in on spring practice. They're dialed in on the football portal. Well, I'm going to get there about over the next month. And as that happens, you know, I'll have hopefully original thoughts, fresh thinking, and good insights on, you know, looking at the football picture.
Mm-hmm. Talking to David Cobb, he joins us every Monday from CBS Sports, talk college football and college basketball. Getting back over to the college basketball side of things for the transfer portal. I have to ask you this. It's going to be a complicated question, I fear. But I am curious your thoughts because I've seen so much back and forth and people having different takes about it. You're seeing coaches talk about it. I've got friends that will argue from the time the sun comes up until the sun goes down about this topic. How do you feel about these three types of current college basketball players? The European players that are coming over that were pros in Europe but now coming over and playing, the guys that have been drafted but, you know, are now playing college basketball, like the James Nagy's, and then the guys that played for G League Ignite that are now trying to come back into college. I'm sure you saw over the weekend Dink Pate committing to Providence. He was a guy that was with Ignite and then just kind of got lost in the G League for a couple of years. How do you feel about those three types of players we're seeing kind of really start to take over college basketball?
So the one that I take issue with the most are guys who have willfully chosen to begin their professional careers in a traditional professional path, mm-hmm. such as the actual G League, declaring for the draft, going to the G League, maybe even getting an NBA contract, but then changing their minds and choosing to play college basketball because there's a clearly established alternative mm-hmm. for those players. It's called college basketball. And if you choose not to play it and you choose to enter the NBA draft and you choose to become a full-fledged professional, then I don't think there should be a pathway back to college basketball for those types of players. That's your Charles Bediakos of the world. And really, I would put a James Nagy in that category as well. The guys who I have less of a problem with Dink Pate, the G League Ignite was supposed to be one of these alternative sort of programs, but not the full-fledged professional route. It was supposed to be a pathway program, a pathway to the pros. Well, then college basketball emerged as a viable, as something that was very viable in that mold. With the amount of money that you were able to make in college basketball, it then became kind of apples and apples to G League Ignite. So I'm not as up in arms maybe about the Dink Pate to Providence situation as some. I don't think it's quite the same as somebody like a Bediako or a Najee who chose the traditional professional route. And then the international guys, I mean, I think we have to be honest. Like, there is no college basketball in Europe. So if you're in that professional pipeline, that's really your only option to play high-level basketball overseas. So as long as you're within the range of college age over there, I don't have a problem. Now, we get into a situation now where some of these guys, 22, 23, coming over, the NCAA has done a pretty good job of classifying them properly. And we're not just calling anybody who comes over from Europe freshmen. Like, we're not doing that. And they've done a pretty good job with that. And I am curious to see if the numbers on the European guys are as high this year. I spent some time last night going through the Adriatic League, which has been a hotbed pipeline of talent to college basketball.
That caused the root canal going through the Adriatic League.
Oh, man, it's some nasty work. but I'll tell you, they're about halfway through their season. So as they get closer to the end of their season, you'll start to hear more names from guys over there who are talking about coming over.
Love that.
But I don't think it's as deep of a group this year in that particular league as it was a year ago. And so, I have more of those three groups. I probably have the most sympathy for the international players. I think they are the ones whose claim to participate in college basketball is the strongest, because they've just participated in the best and only pathway that's available to them, whereas some of these domestic guys have willfully chosen not to play college basketball, and then they're changing their minds once they've made that choice. And that, to me, feels a little different than the international guys.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a weird world we live in, but I definitely agree with you on that.
David, in the point guard world, you're talking about Cadeau. Where was he ranked, ahead or behind Doug McDaniel?
I believe he was ahead of Doug McDaniel, but not by much. They were pretty close, if I recall correctly. I think Elliott Cadeau was ranked a little higher than Doug McDaniel, but maybe not significantly so.
Will P.J. Haggerty work with Buckyball?
I'm fascinated by that one. I am. I think he can, but Haggerty's always been the alpha, the guy around which the entire offense revolved, and less of that traditional distributor. And so that makes him a little different than the point guards that Bucky has had. So it doesn't strike me as a perfect fit, but we know P.J. Haggerty will be productive. Well, what will be interesting is how he kind of fits within those line changes. Bucky plays 9, 10, 11 guys. None of them ever play more than 30 minutes a game. P.J. Haggerty has never played fewer than 30 minutes a game over the last, 3 years. So,
can't shoot if you're not in there.
That's true.
Exactly. So it'll be a little different, but they go fast enough to where I think he'll still get his shots. Maybe it's a little bit of a shift from Bucky. Maybe it's a little bit of a recognition of, hey, at this level of ball, we need a guy who we can go to every possession sort of deal.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was the most natural pairing, but I trust Bucky. He did a good job year one in the SEC. And I think it can work. I question whether a team that has P.J. Haggerty as its best player is going to be there in the second weekend. You know, there might be a cap on what you can accomplish with a guy of his archetype leading the way.
Yeah,
Sean Miller and Bucky a bidding war, too.
They really were.
Yeah. Yeah, basketball is important in Texas, too, apparently.
Yeah, everything's bigger and more important in Texas, at least so I've heard. But, David, as always, thanks so much for joining us. And, yeah, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, thanks.
Thanks, David.
Thank you very much. David Cobb with us from CBS Sports on college basketball and college football. I don't want to take it into depression, but it is two stories, the story breaking right now. about the health of Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
Ooh, keep up the fight. Mm-hmm. Dickie V, you got a tough one ahead of you. And Mark Byington, the head coach at Vanderbilt with his girlfriend. That, just what a sad story.
I am not familiar with the Mark Byington story.
She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer the afternoon of their win against Kentucky.
Wow.
And they kept it a secret, and now it's out, and they're telling their stories, not anything privileged, but rough battle, stage four.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's terrible. Yeah. Both of those really, really sad to see. And you mentioned Dick Vitale, that just kind of coming out about an hour or so ago. About his, what he learned. We talked about
Mr. College Basketball.
Oh, no, he absolutely is. I think we talked about it last week that ESPN had put out a statement from him saying he was going to have more tests done. They had seen something that they wanted to follow up on, and obviously not great news coming out today about it.
Yeah, and so sad, and everybody that's ever been touched by it, it's just always that next scan, that next, something doesn't look good, and it's really tough. Trying to transition from that, Brian. Don't you? We look at the SEC in baseball, and we see that just collage from 4 to 14 in SEC baseball right now. Maybe even to 15. Basketball was kind of like that, Now it looks like football's getting like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you were the first one that brought it up before last season about how we could see a world where, all these teams are kind of bunched up together.
I was a year too soon.
You were a year too soon.
It's most of my greatness usually.
Well, hey, you're there, though. That's that's what's important. And so, yeah, it does feel like we're starting to see that in football. And obviously it doesn't help.
Now
when
ninth game.
Yeah, I mean, and if you have
one open
that of kind of everyone bunched up with the Big Ten doing what they're doing, Brett, and shame on you for not bringing it up with David. I mean, I really am disappointed because the Big Ten lost out on another title over the weekend
in
hockey.
Brett,
you're on top of it.
Pioneers of Denver took it, didn't they?
Denver, they did.
I've seen Denver in college basketball.
Have you really? Wow. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I'll be honest with you, Brett.
I think their coach was Marty Fletcher, old Maryland assistant under – Was he under Gary Williams or Lefty? But yeah.
Wow. See, Brett, I'll be honest.
Denver was in the same league with UALR. I went to the maybe Sun Belt tournament one year in North Little Rock in Denver. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. we talk about the geography today. I don't know if that geography makes much
sense.
They beat
Wisconsin in the hockey, right?
They did. Yeah.
After
did.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was was it Wisconsin or Michigan? It was one of the two.
Wisconsin had beat Michigan.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I did not know it was even happening, Brad. I'll be very honest with you. I do not keep up with
college
hockey.
Show.
Supposed to be.
I'm pulling for my Flyers and Preds to get in.
That's exactly right.
Trying to squeeze in.
I pride myself of being hockey guy. I'm not college hockey guy. And I flipped it on the other day. I was flipping around. I go, oh, what's this? And I go, oh, it's the national championship game for college.
The Frozen Four.
Frozen Four, that's right.
To the initiated.
That's exactly right. Brett, you're on top of it. I mean, shame on me for not knowing that you were on top of it. But
And we also, I think we have hockey playoffs starting latter part of the week, don't we?
The final day of the regular season is Thursday. So they might
start make picks Friday.
Yeah, they might start over the weekend on Sunday or so.
Boy, there's a tradition unlike any other, isn't it?
That really is. It really is. So
We don't want to give a time to the audience because we don't want them prepared to turn.
Absolutely not. No.
We will, want to spring it on you.
We will spring it on you, and you will not know when we are doing our hockey picks.
David Cobb was on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Sissy's Log Cabin always with us, unlike Rory McIlroy. They will be prominent at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. They'll be all our leaderboards will be brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. They'll be with us all summer at the two big events for me during the summer at SEC Media Days and at the golf tournament. They're with us every day with the talk and text line, and we sure appreciate it. And when we get back to football every Monday, they'll bring you a look at the weekend in the SEC every Monday at 4:30 from Sissy's Log Cabin, that great location at 4542 Poplar, 9,000 square foot store at Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more since 1970 with all the great locations across the Mid-South, the official jeweler for the hometown teams like the Tigers and the Grizzlies, and at FedEx Forum with the floor seat lounge. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, let's get to another break. When we return, we'll talk some NBA as the playoffs are officially set. That does mean the season is over for the Grizzlies. So Grizzly talk and the NBA comes your way next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. It's time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford and Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. When you hear the sound
coming, well, the NBA playoffs are set last night, the final night of the regular season. We talked about it a lot on Friday about how they set up the last 2 days where everyone played on Friday and then the day off on Saturday and then everyone played on Sunday, and it was very condensed. I think first games last night started at 5, the last games started at 8:30, so you were right there in about a 3.5 window of all the start times around the NBA. But everything is set in both the East and the West. We'll get the play-in started tomorrow night, and that means for the Grizzlies and a lot of other teams, the offseason has officially begun. We talked about it earlier, and we'll certainly talk about it a lot more with Michael Cole. Exit interviews already behind us now for the Grizzlies, so it is feels like the start of a new era for the Grizzlies.
You care to get your NBA picks out?
I could probably find them.
I went 8 out of 10 in the East, 8 out of 10 in the West. The big misses in the East for me, I had Indiana.
Yeah.
I had them as the 8. They finished 14th.
Yeah.
And I had Milwaukee as the 5. They finished 11 and fired their coach.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's not bad. Well, that's not too bad.
In the West, I had Sacramento as the 10. That's
okay.
Really bad.
Well, they're fun, though. At least you picked a fun bad team.
And I had Dallas as the 8.
Okay. Well, they weren't as fun, but they had Cooper Flagg, who was fun.
My top 4 in the East, I had New York 1, Cleveland 2, Orlando 3, Detroit 4. Top 4 in the West, Oklahoma City 1, Denver 2, Houston 3, Clippers 4.
I'm trying to look through mine real quick.
I see Landon scurrying to his backpack.
I didn't think I was going to be able to find mine this fast.
Sorry I caught you by surprise.
No, you're fine. I'm trying to double check to make sure this is the right one. So I had...
But they're horrible. We'll say it was the wrong one.
No. It is the right one. I look decent in terms of the correct teams being in the playoff. I think I nailed the West in or out. It's just my number, like the seeding is awful. San Antonio, the 8.
I had them as the 6.
Yeah.
They ended up the 2.
Okay, I did.
I don't think that's on us.
I had the Grizzlies as a 9, so I did miss an in or out.
I had the
West.
Grizzlies as 11, winning 38.
So who did I have out that was in? Portland. I had Portland out and Portland's in. So that was the miss I had in the West. And then in the East, I had the Hornets out and the Raptors out, and I had the Bulls and the Wizards in.
I had Charlotte as 14.
Yeah, I had Charlotte as 13. So, I mean, they weren't that much higher. They got in the play-in. They weren't that much higher. They were, what, 9?
My finals, I have Denver over the Knicks. Neither happening.
I don't know who I had winning mine.
Landon, how do your picks look?
They don't look too bad. I think my claim to fame is I had the Celtics in the play-in at the beginning of the year, but them being
I had them as a 9.
That's pretty good.
I mean, having them as a
that's coach of the year stuff, isn't it?
Having them still in.
That's 5.
I had Cavaliers at 1, Knicks at 2. I had the Bucks in, so that was a miss. I had Magic high up there. They made the play in.
I had
the Hawks at 5, Pistons at 6, Raptors
at 7. I had the Hawks at 6, and they finished 6.
Wow. I had the Raptors at 7. Where are the Raptors right now?
They're 10?
5.
Oh, the Raptors are 5. I was looking at my list. My preseason picks list.
I didn't miss that bet. I had the Heat at 9. I think they're the – which seed are they? They're the 9 or
10.
The 10. Yeah, the 10. So
Adam 7.
Not bad. My
don't know where I'd be.
I had a
out.
What are y'all's finals looking like?
I had OKC winning the whole thing over the Cavs. So
I have okay. I have Nuggets.
I wouldn't
over
pick it
Cavaliers.
Today.
I have
yeah.
Nuggets
we
over
were
Cavaliers.
Both Denver. Okay. That's right.
Yeah,
we are both for Denver.
All right. Well, not bad. Not bad. I had Jokic as my MVP.
I had Jokic as MVP.
I think
Quinn Snyder, Coach of the Year.
Okay,
he's not going to win it.
No,
but
I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I do not hate
Cooper
it.
Flagg, Rookie of the Year, first coach fired. I'm sorry, I missed because he is a good guy. Willie Green in New Orleans.
Mm, well, yeah, it's, but I am excited for these playoffs. I think they're going to be.
I am too.
Really, really good.
We'll
on both
make
sides.
Play-in picks tomorrow. Yeah. That's where it's won.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll start that because two games tomorrow, Heat at Hornets and then Blazers at Suns. Again, all the play
all
games
on the Prime, isn't it?
Prime, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So it will be streaming only for the next couple of days, but I think
and a lot of Saturday will be mm-hmm. until primetime Saturday night will be Prime.
Is that right?
I think
interesting.
So.
Interesting. Wow. So Prime getting a pretty good deal with the NBA, their first NBA.
That's
playoff,
why the rights
so.
Fees went up, isn't it?
That's right. That's why the rights fees are.
Yeah, Saturday noon, Raptors, Cavaliers, wow. Prime. 2:30, T-Wolves, Nuggets, Prime. 5 o'clock, Hawks, Knicks,
wow.
Prime. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, on network, ABC, Rockets at Lakers.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Prime is they're starting to really, really kind of try to take a big command in the sports streaming game. They had some Masters coverage on Thursday and Friday, and I was reading a story about how they really feel like with the traffic they get on a day-to-day basis that they can really change the game for kind of being a factor in the sports streaming department. So
they have y'all will see a streaming Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think even in the story, it kind of talked about like they are already kind of having conversations about what is the best way to make that put that in front of the NFL to try to say Amazon should be the host of a Super Bowl.
And a lot of people are trying right now in Congress to change. I don't know the exact name of the law, but it was like the 1961 TV Act.
Mm-hmm.
When that gets changed, college football, you better be careful wanting to do that because that by law
mm-hmm.
keeps the NFL from playing on Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. outside of those early September dates.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact dates are, but mm-hmm. just for good, for you know, rough stab at it. Let's say September 10 through like Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
that they can't by law. You crack that open, they take over every day and night.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL will.
Yep. Yep. No, they absolutely will. And so you're right. If I'm college football, I don't know how much I want to get into that because I would like to keep those Saturdays football only and not or college football only instead of the NFL getting it in there. Last thing before we get to another break, some other news around the NBA. Doc Rivers officially out in Milwaukee. Feels like a big offseason for them with Giannis. It still feels like they have a little bit of hope, depending on what they do with the head coach position, that maybe they could keep him around. But it feels like a big offseason. Taylor Jenkins certainly in play there. And then I saw this. This was really interesting. Luka Doncic, he is one game shy of the 65-game minimum threshold for those postseason awards. He is trying to get an exemption from the one game he missed. Because he's at 64 and he's trying to be able to be eligible by because he missed, I guess, just one game, maybe a couple games for the birth of one of his children. He went over to Europe, and so he's trying to get them to kind of, you know, flex the rules a little bit and say that he can be a part of the postseason awards.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think they are going to accommodate it.
Probably not. But I do think it is going to be a big
then
story
it opens
this offseason. Oh, sure. Well, and I think it needs to be. I mean, we've talked about it. I know you like it.
I want to go up.
I hate it. I don't think it needs to be in there. And so I kind of hope Luka gets this, and it kind of becomes that break of the dam that we see.
This hour brought to you by our friends at Landers Ford in Collierville, the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. Landers Ford, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle and any price point. Seamless shopping experience from choice to financing and service. From the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco, every vehicle built Ford tough. The Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck. SUVs like the Ford Expedition, the Ford Broncos, the Ford Escape, the Ford Explorer, and EVs and hybrids. And transparency, what you see is what you get. No fine print. It's all there in bold. Professionalism and long-term support and long-term friendship is what you get at Landers Ford. Oil changes, tires rotated, anything service. You go online, schedule when it suits you the best. It'll be done quickly to meet your very busy, hectic schedule. Landers Ford, active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue. Or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Well, we need to get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number today is the number 187, so a pretty big number.
Cardinals team batting average?
No, but that could be close. No, 187.
My success rate in golf picks? No, that's 0-0-0.
No. Yeah, that is not it either. This comes from the NBA, actually, and it could have gone with several different big numbers here, but I saw this earlier, and I know this is an option for the future of the draft lottery, so I'll just go ahead and say the big number, and then I'll get to maybe the point of it. The bottom six NBA teams this season had a combined winning percentage of .187 after the All-Star break. That is the lowest combined winning percentage post-All-Star break among the bottom six teams in NBA history. So I know one of the thoughts out there is maybe to stop the lottery and you know, lock in those freeze those rankings at the All-Star break, and then, you know, teams aren't actively going out there trying to lose to put themselves in a better spot down the stretch of the season.
It's not a bad idea.
Out of all the ideas I've seen from the NBA about how to stop tanking,
because the All-Star game's really late now.
That's right.
53-54 mm-hmm. game mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much season after that. So out of all the ones I've seen, if you're saying you have to fix it with one of these options, I would say that's probably my favorite out of all of the ones I've seen.
Yeah, I don't mind that. 187. I'm surprised it was that high.
Yeah.
It would
it was bad.
In mass quitting.
It was really, really bad. And, yeah, I mean, you look at some of those teams in there. Not much winning, and you look last 10 over those six. That includes the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies 1-9, Sacramento 3-7, Utah 1-9, Brooklyn 3-7, Indiana 3-7, Washington 0-10. That's just over the last 10 games, but not a lot of winning going on between those six teams.
Washington went perfect 0-10. Huh?
Perfect 0-10 to end the year. I know Utah was 0-10 there for a little bit, and they have they cut that, and now 1-9 of their last.
And some
10.
Of those teams played it that you had to win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I mean, it's and that one win for Utah was on Friday against Memphis. So before that, I mean, it was.
What was the margin Friday night?
46.
46 to against Utah that wanted to lose.
Right, yeah, that was it was who could out-tank the other, and I guess Memphis
46
won.
Did it.
It sure did. I had a buddy Friday night that was texting me and a couple other buddies in a group chat, and he just ran. We're up by 20. We're up by 25. We're up by 30. And finally, somebody that wasn't watching the game was like, "How in the world are the Grizzlies up that much? And he goes, no, you don't understand. By losing, we are winning. And so he was a big Grizzly fan.
I don't know
fan.
Why to win that game against
it.
Denver. I still don't.
It's a good question, but they found a way too, I guess.
Denver didn't do their part that night either.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But they had all their guys out there, so, I mean, it's not like they were resting everybody. That was a weird game.
It really was. My big number is three. Nobody's ever won three straight Masters. We know the group that Roy McIlroy now joins winning back-to-back. Nobody's ever gone three in a row. So there's only one that can do it next April at Augusta National. The unbelievable going for three straight Masters. He can win the next three majors this year, and he's the only one that can win a Grand Slam this year.
Yeah.
If he wins the next three, he'll be a Grand Slam winner.
It's crazy. It's I mean, he has been on a tear, certainly with the last two majors, and you know, we'll see if maybe that success can carry over to some of these other majors, and maybe he could do the unthinkable. That would certainly be a season. If you went back to back at the Masters and then got the Grand Slam, I mean, that would be wild.
The PGA outside Philadelphia, the great Pat Donahue's hometown in Newtown Square,
okay.
PA. He really rode me hard when I called it Newton. He got on me hard. I didn't know.
Hey,
Newtown Square
we all
at Aronimink. Then the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, and then the British Open or the Open Championship. And that's where the next three majors are this year, and only one can win a Grand Slam.
That's right. And so we'll see if he can do it. I would I'd bet against it, but hey,
would too.
He's been playing really, really well. So who knows?
Even winning the PGA, I would still bet against it because of the U.S. Open would be so tough.
Oh yeah, it will be really, really tough out there. I mean, they want you to hate it even more than what some of the guys hated the course of the Masters. I mean, they really want you to hate the game of golf by the time you're done playing it.
Yeah, they like around par.
They do.
And 5-under is outrageous to them.
Did you see
it? Low man a win.
Oh, that's right. We talked about Sergio earlier. I know on Friday we were talking about old Bobby and his outburst. Did you see Hao Tong Lee yesterday and his blow-up? His was not emotional blow-up, though. His was just on the course blow-up.
And did you see how happy he was at the end? I think he kind of hurt Scotty a little bit.
All the time
it took to play 13 and one other hole, but you know they left the green. Scotty Scheffler, you know, first class, and Hao Tong Lee, you could tell, was enamored by being in the group with him. It may have hurt him. Cole Topper won. Did you see that? Did you see the Cole Topper on? I think on 15.
No.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Never got over ankle high.
Oh, man, I hate that.
We know
that.
The feeling.
Yeah, I saw someone posted a picture that they went back and watched the hole that he really blew up on, and it's just a picture of him just like standing in the bushes way behind, like way off in the distance, just kind of like looking over, trying to figure out where the shot is and kind of where his ball was.
On 13?
I think that was 13, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw a photo. If they hadn't circled where he was, you would have never found him in the shrubs.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the one I'm talking about. I saw one where he was just kind of peek. You could just kind of see the tip of his head peeking out. That was on 13.
Hey guys, I'm still here.
It was hilarious, but yeah, it was a rough. That 12-13 double and triple and then a 10 on. He went 6 on 3 and no 6 on 12 and then 10 on 13. So
and once again,
numbers,
no shocker.
There.
Amen corner is what it came down to,
sure
good
did.
Or bad.
It sure did. It really did. And for the winner, it was really, really good. It kind of made the tournament for him. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, I did. You know, I found myself I'm no golf hater, but I'm no golf expert either. But I watched more Masters over the weekend than anything else. I mean, I was locked in on the golf. That's how good it was over the weekend.
Your picks, you won $504,000.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, start of the season. We got to get back to the drawing board, figure it out for Wednesday when we've got another just great tournament coming up, and we'll figure things out as a team. And I'm sure
no cut tournament, so I get money this week.
Okay,
instead of
no
the Blue Tarski,
so
I put
how
up.
How about that? So we're all in for some money, which is great for us. And we'll
John
we'll
over
we
5 million. Scotty Scheffler, who finished second, John Rahm, T-38. You had Ludwig with T-21. We doubled everything. Landon, great, good tournament for Landon. T-3 with Cam Young. T-21, early Sunday. Keegan Bradley snuck in there and got him some money. And zero for Bryson, zero for Minwoo Lee for a total of zero. That is a full Blutarski, zero, zero, zero.
I did see that.
I'll be picking first on Wednesday. I can tell you now, barring injury, Scotty Scheffler.
I think that's a smart pick. I saw somebody.
Good move, Brett.
They posted a video. I think it was at the Masters of Minwoo Lee in the kitchen, like making something. So probably shouldn't have added that to it because he didn't cook anything up on the
well,
course.
I felt great about it too.
You did. You were excited about your picks, but hey, next week, Brett, you just got to get back to the drawing board and Wednesday's
gotta get on that Scotty
up.
Train.
Wednesday's right around the corner.
No, I
mean,
like
that
your
can
pick.
Change
you're
everything.
You're in a good spot.
Great spot. I love
picking
it.
Picking first.
Well,
back
you know,
in my spot.
That's right. It's your spot. But let's get to another break. Wrap up this hour when we return. We're talking Grizzlies to Michael Cole, the Grizzlies beat writer over at the Commercial Appeal. He joins us next.